It's simple math. Tim Hortons 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.
Sorry, I'm unavailable, but please leave a message.
Hey, LaRusso, look, it's me, it's Johnny. Listen, I know I said some things like, you know, you shouldn't come back or whatever, but I didn't actually mean that. You know, and I, we have our moments, but one thing we share is we're there for the kids. And they need you right now. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I guess I need you too, so. Just get your ass back here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week, we're covering Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 7, Dog in the Fight. He was a dog.
What do you think those dogs were for? For fighting?
I don't know. Probably just to kill people. I mean, go out and get people, maybe?
I don't know, but I was mad about it. I didn't like it. It upset me.
They threw in that old John Wick thing. Daniel could have just killed them all, and we would have been like, yes!
Yeah. I was like, go let all the other dogs out, too. Not just that one.
I know. He didn't, like, take care of him or anything. I thought he let it. Did he just let one out?
I thought it was just the one, but... Mm. Unless I missed it.
And he said something like, you got to feed your dogs better or something.
Let me read the synopsis. It's Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 7, Dog in the Fight. Johnny and Daniel are having issues, like an old married couple, on how to motivate the team as Miyagi-Do doesn't do very well in second event of the tournament. And they need to earn more points to avoid elimination. Daniel gets a message from Serrano, a former Sakai Taikai contestant who claims to know Miyagi, and decides to meet him for answers at the given address. However, he gets captured by some thugs and a former student of Cobra Kai. How do we know it's former? Dennis de Guzman. How do we know his name? Forcing him to miss the next event of the tournament, resulting in Johnny having to step up. Tension between Miguel and Robbie arise when Miguel tells him he's wasting his opportunity to be captain since his issues with Tori have clearly affected his fights. He tells Robbie he should either step up or hand over the captain position. Devin admits to Johnny that she cheated, but he encourages her to do her best and promises not to say anything. Miyagi-Do advances to the next round thanks to Miguel's victory against two fighters from an Irish dojo. However, he and Johnny have to return home when Rosa calls and tells them that Carmen is having complications with her pregnancy and is at the hospital.
Ooh, bum, bum, bum. Boom, bum, bum.
So what do you guys think of this one?
Boy, it was a combination of, I don't know. At first I wanted to say bad decision-making led to the drama, but I don't know if that's true, because I think I would have made a lot of the same decisions. It's just more of a situational comedy, which I enjoy. Or not comedy, drama.
You know, when it makes sense, right?
When it makes sense. Sometimes you watch a show and they're just like characters just making bad decisions on purpose just for the sake of creating drama. But I think this one was more situational, so I was really into it. And I mean, upon first watch, I was just like, you know, just like, oh my God, what is going on? This is crazy. But upon reflection, you know, I started digging a little deeper, and it made a lot of sense to me. And it was like, I don't know, was it better than the first episode? I'll say that.
I do think it's a bit ridiculous that every time Robbie gets in a fight, he just starts gazing at
Okay, Tori, yeah.
And then he gets whacked. It's like, okay, after the first time, get your fucking head on straight, dude.
Yeah, that's you right. We were all in agreement with Miguel, I think, on that one.
Yeah. That's right. What about you, Rima?
I liked the episode, especially because we had a lot of karate action. You know, we got to see more tournament action, and we had the final fight, which was going to, you know, potentially eliminate Miyagi-Do. So that was really exciting. I know we'll have more to talk about that in our points, I'm sure. I did feel Daniel being kidnapped in Barcelona was a little contrived, just to get him, you know, I guess away from the tournament. But, you know, so that was a little off to me. And I was a little tired of seeing Robbie constantly distracted again over and over. I'm like, this has been pointed out to you, but yet you're still continuing to let interfere. But I thought overall it was still a good episode. I was still entertained and, you know, very much wanting to get onto the next episode when they left us on that little cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. That was hard not to keep watching. You said the great karate, and it reminded me an interview that we read from at some point, probably after episode 5, where they were, showrunners were talking about what we were going to see in the middle 5. And I think they said, we're going to see the best karate we've seen in the series so far. And I would say that's true so far.
Yeah, so good far. Stuff.
Yeah. And about it being contrived, I agree with you, but I am like letting myself enjoy it. But when you said that, it reminded me like that Daniel being kidnapped is contrived. It reminded me how we felt when Kreese escaped from prison last season. It was like, what is this? It's like we're in some action movie. And now I feel like the way I'm rationalizing that it works is, well, Kreese is the one who set that up, clearly, right? So he's sort of bringing another genre that he was in by himself last time and infecting the main story with that kind of.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, I loved it. You guys probably knew I would, just because Daniel was such a badass in that scene.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was like, fuck yeah, dude, go for it. Yes. And also I was like, you really needed a little character rehabilitation here, because you've been on the whiny and moralizing side lately, I will admit. So I was glad to see him get to do something that was just really cool, you know?
Totally.
So let's get into our points. You mind if I go first this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I have a bunch. So I'll just talk about that. So Daniel follows this false lead. So the hotel clerk gives him an envelope, and I thought it was funny. He's looking at the papers inside and he goes, holy shit. And Johnny goes, what is that? The bill from the minibar? Chosen should pay. And so he gets led to this dangerous neighborhood, and this kid sells him this Jesus keychain. And I was like, why is that in there? It did end up saving Daniel, but it was interesting that it was that. And I think it was also kind of just to pay tribute to Spain being such a Catholic country.
Mm.
So they added some Jesus in there.
Yeah.
When Daniel got hit, I jumped. When he was just walking in the neighborhood, or I think he was
from behind with the crowbar.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. I was just like, what the?
Then when he woke up in this cage, it was very cinematic. I felt like I was watching a movie at that point. And then, the trap dogs, I sort of wonder what's that all about. Like, is it just to, I do think it's sort of that John Wick thing. It instantly just makes us like hate these guys and want to see Daniel kick their ass, you know,
assholes.
They're not treating dogs well. Then the two tough guys come in and they won't let Daniel out. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then in the next scene, he picks the lock and then he hits a guy and lets the dogs out. Next time, feed your dogs, like total Arnold Schwarzenegger line there.
Yeah.
Then he goes in the next room and the guy comes at him with a kick, the Cobra Kai guy. And there's this moment after Daniel accidentally rips the guy's sleeve off and realizes he sees the tattoo, realizes he's Cobra Kai. And he says, you know, you work for Kreese, where you see Daniel focus himself. And I just thought they filmed that really well. You just feel him like gathering his chi, you know, and then he just totally kicked the guy's ass. And I think like there's sort of, and we'll talk about it, debate about Johnny and Daniel's style. Like Johnny is Daniel being too kind of a wuss, you know, telling him to go take a nap and stuff. But I think this is what he's trying to coach them to do. Just not always rush in, but take a beat to get focused, you know? And that's what he did right here. It felt like he just sort of sat back in his power for a second and then kicked ass. And so I loved all of this. I think Kreese made it clear that he set it up and I think he wants Daniel and Johnny to know he did that without explicitly telling them. And I guess the point from his point of view was just to keep Daniel away so Miyagi-Do would be more likely to get eliminated. I mean, I think the real point was to have a story where Johnny had to kind of deal with things on his own. And it was a bit much, but I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, I agree. And I wouldn't have suspected Kreese right away until I saw the Cobra Kai tattoo. But then also, he made little snips. Like, I think he said something to Johnny about, like, I hope Daniel didn't run into any trouble, you know, when he ran away.
Wink, yeah. Wink.
Well, and
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, he did it when Daniel was leaving the lobby after he had gotten the letter. And he's like, oh, you're off somewhere in a hurry, you know, something like that. And I was just like, But it didn't make me think, oh, Kreese is up to something. I was like, Kreese is just being an ass. Like, you know, he normally is. So I didn't, it didn't occur to me until, I think whenever he had first gotten out of the cages that maybe that was intentional and that maybe there was somebody else behind it. And then it didn't have, cause I thought, why would this Serrano dude lock him up in like a cage with these dogs? Like what is going on? I was still on that track. Right. So it,
by the time Daniel saw the Cobra Kai tattoo, said Kreese did it, and then Kreese said to Johnny something like, oh, I hope nothing happened to Daniel. Then it's like, okay, it's pretty
wink,
clear
wink,
what
nudge,
happened
nudge.
And so then it is, there's a little bit of like, oh, we were all invested in this story with Miyagi, and that was a red herring. So there's a little disappointment there, but I'm sure they will pick that up and he'll actually meet Serrano or get back on the trail of what really happened with Miyagi.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope. Yeah. They didn't do this to put it on the back burner because when Daniel was locked up in the cage, he said to himself, he goes, like, I'm such an idiot. You know, he led me down the wrong path this whole trip. He was talking about Mr. Miyagi, right?
I don't know. I didn't catch that part.
Mr. Miyagi? Or, yeah, no.
Or was he talking about Kreese? No, I don't know.
I don't think
the story's over.
Right. Yeah. I don't either, but I just hope it's not on the back burner until like the next five episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
Could be. I can't wait, Rich.
I want to know. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, when did you guys suspect? Did you suspect anything? I mean, when he got out of the cab and the cab driver's like, what are you doing here? This isn't where tourists go. And then he like floored it and got the hell out of there. I was just laughing like, oh, that guy took off really fast. Oh.
Well, my thought was this looks very much like a touristy area to me. It seems really nice. But I think the point was, this is a bad area of town. And so I didn't know what to think, right? I was like, oh, this guy must be dangerous or something's going on. What is it? I had no idea.
Yeah, I was with Rima. I didn't suspect nothing until he woke up in a cage and I was like, what the F? And then I was still thinking, like, who is this Serrano dude? What a dick, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't until you see the Cobra Kai tattoo and he says, oh, Kreese set this up, that I began to suspect that Kreese set it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who wants to go next? Rima, you want to go next?
Sure. Well, I'll tag on to what you were saying, because Daniel's my first point as well. And, you know, even though it felt a little contrived to try and get Daniel away from the tournament, and I don't know, and maybe it's just clear that Kreese is just trying to really keep them off balance and unfocused. So maybe that was the whole point. And knowing that, you know, Daniel's maybe a stronger of the two senseis and that he can really poke at Johnny and get him even more off balance and unfocused with Daniel out of the way. So maybe it's just as straightforward as that. So as contrived as it seemed, it didn't take me out of it. I still did enjoy it. It was just kind of like, what am I watching? Like, I didn't expect this. This was not on my bingo card for Cobra Kai to like see, you know, Daniel kidnapped.
Yeah.
I do, however, did agree with Johnny at a point anyway, when he's kind of blaming Daniel's obsession, and it pulling him away from the tournament. I was really surprised that Daniel's like, I'm going to leave in the middle of this day when we have two more events coming up. You know, it's like, oh, it's in a couple of hours. I'll be back before then. And I'm like, dude, even if this was on the up and up, even if Serrano was on the other end of that and this wasn't set up by Kreese, I'm like, you're still like taking a risk by going somewhere where you don't, you know, that you're not familiar with. Because I feel like when he called Amanda and Amanda was skeptical, I'm like, she's usually on the nose about a lot of things. Yeah. And so she's like, you know, I don't know, Daniel, this doesn't sound like a good idea. And she's trying to get him to be really cautious. And does it have to be now? I'm like, can it not wait till like after the events or maybe after the tournament? So I really thought Johnny had a little bit of a point there that he, you know, Daniel's allowing this to get in the way of being there for the kids. And I know he regretted that when he got back and he saw Sam. He's like, I'm really sorry I let you down. I'm sorry I wasn't there. You know, I know he felt really bad about that. So, you know, I was kind of annoyed that he let that get him off of his focus from the tournament and not being there for the kids and helping them be as prepared as they could for those events. However, when he was there and we got to see him fight those guys, and then when that dude comes in, I can't think of what he said his name was, with the tattoo. When he locked in, that was so badass. Like you said,
yeah.
Jason, when he like was like gathered his chi and just like, I was like, oh, hell. I was like, Daniel's getting ready to go off on this guy. And I don't know if you guys noticed that as he was fighting this guy, that he did, they weren't exact to the letter, but they were all three of his finishing moves from the Karate Kid movies. Did you notice that?
Really?
Yeah, he did.
I only noticed the crane kick.
He did that, yeah.
Yeah, he did like the crane kick. Now, he didn't do his arms, but he did, you know, his leg kick that he does with the crane kick. When he came in the second time, Daniel went in and he did the counter punch, which was like the drum. Remember the drum move from Karate Kid 2? When he was fighting Chosen, he did that move. It was one quick move. It wasn't like a full on when he kept like punching Chosen
back and forth. Again.
But it was one quick one. And then the final move was the move he did on Mike Barnes in Karate Kid 3 when he did when he grabbed the leg and he threw him on the ground. That was his finishing move in Karate Kid 3. So I thought it was really cool that they incorporated.
Wait, whose finishing move? Barnes?
Daniel's.
When he was
fighting Mike Barnes.
The way he won the tournament in 3 was he just punched him, because it was, remember they kept saying if Barnes would like foul him to take away a point, and then he would hit him fairly to get a point back and foul him again. And Daniel was getting no points at all. And then he won by just punching him one time and getting a point. I thought he flipped him at one point.
I thought there was a flip there.
Okay. I'll have to go watch that.
It was a cool move. Swept him, picked him up, and slammed him on the table. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. They were all like modified. It wasn't like full on. I mean, you had to kind of be watching. So maybe I'm wrong, but I really thought it was that finishing move, at least modified version. That was like my favorite part of it was, you know, Daniel got locked in total badass, you know, mode and laid that dude out. And that guy I read was one of, I think, either Silver or Kreese. I don't know if it was clear, but he was in Karate Kid 3. He was one of like when Mike Barnes and all the henchmen, or was Silver. I think he was one of those dudes from Karate Kid 3.
Oh, really? Mm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. So in the synopsis, it says Dennis. Yeah, that was Mike Barnes' buddy that was like a sneering dude. I wish I could remember some of his lines, but of the guys that like busted up Miyagi's bonsai shop and stuff.
My God, you don't think Mike Barnes is involved? No. Or Silver? No.
I would believe Silver before I would think Mike Barnes.
They're going to bring those guys back? Holy crap.
I would not be surprised.
Oh, man.
I hope so. And we need to hear Silver just go off.
I just felt like...
He's in prison,
crazy.
Though, right?
I think he's supposed to be.
Maybe he'll escape, too.
Maybe he'll escape. Yeah, maybe he'll escape.
I mean, he's got all the money. Or had all the money. So, who knows? But either way, regardless I thought it was. I did not go back to watch and confirm that that was the move or a modified version of the finishing move. It was still badass. It was, super cool to see Daniel in that mode.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Daniel, I mean, that's pretty awesome. He gets to add this to his like dear diary. You know, I got kidnapped today and then broke out and kicked everyone's ass. I mean, in a seedy part of Barcelona using Miyagi-Do center himself, like you guys were saying, that's, you know, he can check that off his fantasy bucket list. We all can.
Yeah, when something like that happens, then you get some real validation that all the time you've been spent on this karate stuff has actually done you well, you know, been worth
it. Yeah. And I think you touched on it a little bit before, but he's going to be even more. Well, I don't know, it might be a moot point now with Johnny gone, but I was thinking, you know, he's just going to be holding on to that now. He's like, no, we need to be balanced. We need to be centered. You know, your way is stupid, Johnny.
Save my life.
Yeah. But then Johnny's got, well, did he? Did Johnny really help them out in this tournament? I mean, it was pretty much all Miguel. He's kicking everyone's ass.
I know.
Yeah.
That's right. Miguel saved the dojo, really.
Yeah. So I want to talk about Johnny and Devin. Mm-hmm. It was really sweet and caring what Johnny says to Devin when she finally ends up confessing to you know, hurting. I think she said she was hurting somebody, hurting Kenny and cheating to get on the team. And she's getting it all off her chest. I think the two actors did a great job interacting. And you never see Johnny. He's so caring and so sweet. And he actually apologized for pushing her too hard and told her how he believes in her as a strong fighter. And you know, in that moment, he was so much a better mentor and teacher than like 95% of the time he's in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially right now, he's having a bad time right now, particularly bad.
Yeah. And he found the strength to say that and to comfort Devin. Yeah. And I just thought that was excellent. It was a great warm moment. Both actors did a great job. It was well written. And you got to see the softer side of Johnny. And Devin really needed that because she has been doing pretty bad in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
She did a little better. Hopefully she finally finds her strength and becomes a stronger part of the team. But man, that hit me right here in the soft spot, you know, because most of the time when kids confess something like that to me, I'm just like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have done that. Right, take your seat.
Do you have kids coming to you really upset like that sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, you know, I have 150 students. I'm doing it for 17 years. So it's just statistically, you're going to get a couple of them. You know, some of them are, you know, family problems. Some of them are abuse. Some of them are just little things that 12-year-olds do. You know, like, I'm sorry, I stole the bag of candy, you know.
You must have a protocol for when it's like abuse, right?
Well, yeah, you gotta
mandated reporter, aren't you?
Yeah, you're a mandated reporter and you get the CPS involved and police, and you got to go fill out all these reports, but you get to do it anonymously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, that really moved me too. That, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I love this episode was that scene as well. I just love that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, good emotion. And I was really proud that Johnny was also like, you know, making sure she knew that like she's going to have to fess up. Like she can do it in her like own way or whatever, but you know, that making sure that she knew that like, it's not just going to be between you and I, you're going to have to like mess up to the rest of the team eventually.
But
she was really proud.
He said it in a way that was like, he assumed already that she would want to do that because she felt so bad. You know, she wasn't like, you're going to have to tell him, you know, she's like, he's like, all right, you're going to be the one to tell him. I'm not going to, I won't step in. You decide how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was great. That's a good way to handle that a lot of times. And then, you know, she really looks up to him. She defended him a couple of times, you know, in the locker room, like when Sam was dogging on him, she stood up for the sensei, and she got shot down pretty quick. But with all of that, you know, considering him the sensei, the teacher, the mentor, she got what she needed from him. That was great. He didn't let her down.
And it was hard because she lost in the first tournament. She got knocked off her platform, and he just yelled to the rest of the team, we got to do better than that. No encouragement or anything to her, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
She's already feeling like, oh, I don't deserve to be here. I suck. And then she gets that from him. So she very, and then she's still standing up for him because he's the one that she, you know, she was with Eagle Fang and he brought her in. So she really needed that. What he did for her eventually, when he finally came around.
Yeah.
Could have totally lost her if he hadn't done that.
So now we got to work on, Robbie.
Oh, goodness.
You were right about Robbie though. It's getting to the point now where I just cringe when every time he glances at Tori and then gets a gut punch.
I mean, I feel like they should have tried to figure out some other way of showing him losing focus other than just, I think it's been three times now where right in the middle of a fight, he'll just start looking at Tori and then get hit.
Where is she? What's she doing?
This sale season, Ritual is urging you to think about what's essential. Your daily health? Pretty essential. Making sure your products are heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and sourced through a traceable supply chain? Also essential. So this Black Friday, skip the micro trends and put your savings where they matter, your health. With 40% off daily essentials like Stress Relief and Symbiotic Plus for gut support. Head to ritual.com/podcast and shop responsibly.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
Save big money on new storage solutions now at Menards. Organize your home with Rubbermaid. We carry everything you need to maximize your space in closets, pantries, laundry rooms, and more. The Fast Track Wire Pantry Kit is on sale now. Stores close Thanksgiving. Save big on Rubbermaid Closet Kits and view the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at
Okay. My first one or second one is Johnny versus Johnny, because at first I thought this seemed like it was just going to be more Daniel Johnny conflict. And to a point it was, because we are, I think, all looking at this going, okay, it's funny because Johnny's like, all right, you got to just run in there. And Daniel's like, slow down. They're like one after the other saying the
totally
opposite.
Totally contradicting,
yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think we're all probably going, oh, well, we think we know who's right. You know, I kind of thought, maybe Johnny's right at this point. They're not doing so well. Maybe they should be more aggressive. But anyway, and Daniel's preaching balance and they need both, right?
Yeah.
But they mm-hmm. mostly need clarity from their instructors. They need their instructors to be on the same page. And my first thought was like, wow, it's clear Johnny and Daniel have totally failed in integrating their styles together. They should have figured that out before they brought them to this tournament. But then Daniel says, you know, yelling at them will not make them fight better. Okay, they need encouragement and focus. And Johnny's like, they need points. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of more on Daniel's side here, although I noticed that this kind of mirrors how me and Jenny are with the kids a lot, where I will be too quick to be like recently, Nico, my 13-year-old, he is doing this mountain biking thing with Boy Scouts, and he did one day, and I went and picked him up, and he was covered in dirt and scrapes, and he said he fell in a poison oak bush and he looked like he'd been crying, and the father that had been taking them around mountain biking was like, oh gosh, you know, I don't know if he's cut out for this kind of look on his face. And the next week he didn't want to go back. And I was like, yeah, maybe this isn't his thing. And Jenny's like, no, we just need to bring the seat down on his bike. And, cause he, that's why he kept falling, I think. And I'm like, you didn't see him though. He was about ready to cry. And she's like, we should try. I'm like, maybe we should try to give him some kind of an easier thing to do, but besides go on this trail with more experienced people. And she's like, no, just let's bring the seat down and see how he does. And he's like, I don't really want to go, but okay. And he went and he did better. And then he went a third time and he did even better. And, I need to pull both of them aside and go, she was right. You know, we needed to make a small adjustment, but it's, you got to push him a little bit sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to find that line though, in the middle there.
Yeah. Pushing and encouragement.
Yeah. Both. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. Even when they lose, Daniel's still being encouraging, saying, hey, don't give up yet. You guys, we got some of the best dojos here, but you guys are too. And Johnny's like, yeah, so you better start fighting like it. So, and then Johnny's like lecturing Daniel about what it takes to win a tournament. You know, it's bullshit letting them keep losing because you care more about honoring some dead guy's legacy than doing what'll actually help them win. And at this point, if I was thinking, if I was Daniel, I'd be like, remember what happened when me and you were in a tournament together and I was injured and I still kicked your ass. But I was thinking that could have been a good moment for the show to sort of bring back to this old wound that where all this started. But Daniel didn't say that. And I think, you know, you could say he showed restraint. And after I finished watching the whole episode, I thought that was good because I really think this is about Johnny and his own demons. And like when they're in the locker room after they all didn't do well, mm-hmm. and Johnny says, what I saw from you, that wasn't karate, that was weakness, which very much sounds like something Kreese would have said. You fought like little lambs waiting for the slaughter. We keep going like this, we get eliminated tonight. Some of you will put this behind you, but some of you are going to carry this for the rest of your lives, knowing you had this chance to make something of yourselves, but instead you crumbled under pressure, and you're going to go on to live shit lives in shitty apartments with shit jobs and always have to live with this failure. And of course, he's talking about himself.
Projecting.
And mm-hmm. yeah, and I think that's another thing we often do as parents. We take all our own failures in life and try to make sure our kids don't have those same failures. But sometimes that means that we're not living in the present moment with what our kids are actually going through a need. And we're just working out our own shit on them instead, you know? And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what he did. And in doing that, he missed that Daniel does have a point here. And I think it was very much on purpose that the two competitions they had on this day were about being knocked off platforms, because that's all about needing balance, mm-hmm. literal physical balance. Mm-hmm. And in Karate Kid, when Miyagi's teaching Daniel keeps wanting to learn how to punch, but Miyagi's like, you learn balance first. So he has him go out in the waves and try to keep balance. And then Daniel on that post on the beach doing his crane kicks. And then I think after that, he takes him on the rowboat out on the lake mm-hmm. and to teach balance, and then he shakes it and
mm-hmm.
pushes him in. Oh, what behind the ears? So I just think that, you know, Johnny eventually figured out, oh, actually Daniel is needed here. You know, he does have some value and I need to get over myself. And then when he left the message for Daniel saying, hey, I'm sorry about all that stuff I said, you know, the kids need you, and God, I never thought I would say this, but I guess I need you too. I was like, oh
yeah.
Who would have ever thought Johnny would say that?
I know. I loved that so
right
much.
The strings.
Yeah.
I think Devon actually triggered that, because she said, yeah. you know, hey, maybe this Miyagi bullshit ain't such bullshit after all. Something to that effect.
Yeah. I was wondering, what turned Johnny around? Because, you know, he had been being a shitty teacher all day, but then he had that moment with Devin that you talked about where he was great. And I think that probably happened because after he railed on all of them in the locker room, they just left, you know, mm-hmm. they were pissed at him, and he's yeah. like, that didn't feel good. And then Kreese was right there going, oh, you know, how'd you do without Daniel just needling him? And so he's like being humbled over and over again, you know? So finally he just got over himself, I guess.
You know, what you said about balance being Daniel's you know, MO pretty much, and having that, those competitions be literally about balance on these platforms, it makes even more sense now that if Kreese knows that he would have set all that up so that Daniel was missing and then Johnny would implode the team, which is almost exactly what happened. So I like it.
Yeah. It all, I mean, these writers, I feel like, are pretty good at just fitting things together really well that are consistent with character that we've known, you know, and I also just really like that it is about Johnny coming to terms with his life, because I think this series is more about Johnny than anyone else. Yeah. And now that we're coming towards the end of it, I just feel like he's gonna come to some place of self-actualization or something.
Yeah. I couldn't help but to think when he was in the locker room telling them what a terrible job they did, and then he's like, you know, like the speech where, you know, you're gonna regret this for the rest of your life and blah 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 blah. I wonder if Dimitri was like, what is he talking about? Because he doesn't even want to be there anymore, it seems like. Like, what if we just quit?
Yeah. That is such a Dimitri thing to say too.
But did you know he's going to MIT?
Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Like that. Hawk
said, shut the fuck up. All right. Rima?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Robbie. He's his head is so not in the game, and it's so frustrating. I was really hoping that we'd see a little less of it and that he'd, you know, start to come out of it a little bit or find a way to handle it, you know, get his game face on. You know, I think when Miguel's like, oh, you just need to get over it, I don't think that's fair to say just get over it. But I feel like, you know, anytime you're in any kind of competition or sports or things like that, you're always going to have something going on in your life, you know, and when it's a big game, big tournament, and things matter, you have to try to find a way to compartmentalize a little bit and just like get on with the game, focus, and remember that that's what you're there for. And then you can like go back to that headspace after. It's not easy to do or anything. I'm not saying it is, but it was just really frustrating to see him again getting so distracted. And you can see Miguel and the rest of the team getting really frustrated with him as well. And Miguel even confronts him, you know, and, you know, is like, if you can't handle this, you know, then maybe you should just hand that over to me. And I'm kind of like, that would not be the worst idea, because he was right. I remember hearing the rules. Gosh, it must have been in the first five, and I guess it just kind of got lost on me. But it wasn't until Miguel pointed it out again to Robbie that, like, doesn't matter how well the rest of the dojo does, at the end of the day, it's Robbie and Sam that are going to be fighting in like the final. So it That's all comes point. Down to Robbie and Sam. That the rest of the dojo could be really, you know, kicking everyone's butt, and if they get up to the finals, it's still them and they could still come out losing. And I was like, oh crap, yeah, that's right. You know, and if Robbie can't focus and get in the game, then maybe Miguel should be captain. So I just thought, you know, he's getting constantly distracted seeing Tori in the crowd, and I just feel like, I don't know what's going to happen now, because obviously if Miguel is having to leave and go back to the States, he can't turn that over to him. And it almost seemed like that's what he was going to do, as he was kind of taking his headband off, and he's kind of looking at Miguel after they had words. So I don't know if he's going to finally get his stuff together, but it was just really frustrating seeing it again. And Jason, you were talking about Johnny, when you were talking about Johnny in your point and his speech. I really liked that in a way, because I think I was hearing you say a little bit about that same thing, Rich, when you were like, if they don't get their stuff together, they're going to regret it. You're going to look back on that when you're like 40 and you're going to regret that you didn't get yourself focused, you know? And so I was thinking of you whenever I was hearing Johnny say that. I was like, Rich was saying that exact same thing, you know? And you could tell Johnny was definitely projecting on that a little bit. But I don't know. I really hope that he gets it together, or he could be looking back. I mean, this is such a huge opportunity for all of them. And you know, Miyagi-Do as a whole, the entire dojo could really benefit. And I don't know, it just sucks that he can't get his crap together. I get he's going through something right now, but I don't know. It's just kind of frustrating.
Well, Robbie certainly is going to regret it if he doesn't get his shit together. I mean, if you try your best and you have a good time, you're golden, you know, but a lot of these kids aren't doing their best. They're distracted and they're not having a good time. That's what they're going to regret when they're 40.
Yeah, they're not even in the moment. They're like so distracted by everything else that's going on that like they're kind of forgetting like where they're at, this huge opportunity being in this, you know, it's not even, you know, like the All Valley Regional Tournament. It's not even nationals. I mean, this is an international, you know, tournament and it's like, or competition, and everyone's so distracted by all the drama that's going on in their own group.
Mm-hmm. They should like go watch the Iron Dragons train and see that their sensei beats them, and then they'll be like, oh, I guess we don't have it so bad.
That was awful.
I know.
That was really awful. Was.
Yeah, that was, I thought that was even worse than Kreese. Kreese only hits his students after they lose, but this guy just hits them right during practice.
During training, yeah. But you're right about Miguel, everything you said. And then right after that, he proceeded to go kick ass in the most badass way on the balancing. Mm-hmm. But and so now you're like, well, shit, Robbie's going to have to step up. Or they might be in some serious trouble.
Yeah, I think he will. Because, I mean, there's a lot of conflict, tension between everybody right now. And I was sort of feeling like, wow, God, this is so uncomfortable. Everyone hates everyone. Hawk and Dimitri fighting over stupid MIT, you know, Daniel and Johnny fighting, Devin's feeling guilty and mad at Samantha for dissing Johnny. Robbie's worried about Tori, and Hawk and Miguel are talking shit about Robbie for not being focused. And it's just like, what am I watching, Game of Thrones here? I feel like everybody's, but it's good because it's this tension that I want relief from, and I know we're going to get it. And when we do, it's going to be sweet. But right now, so it's okay for now, but God, I was getting like, God, it's too much. It's too much. And Miguel, he can be such a good guy, such a good hearted guy, just oozes goodness and warmth, but he can also be a total dick. It's almost like Morgan on Walking Dead, flip-flops between the two. And in this, even though he's a badass and he definitely has a point about Robbie and Robbie is fucking up, it would be nice if instead of saying, you know, I should have gotten this because I need it more, and being mad at Robbie because Robbie has a point. Hey, I want it fair and square back home. The best thing that Miguel could do if he was his best self is go, oh, my friend is losing focus. I need to talk to him, see if I can help, not give him shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, watch how it's done, buddy.
You're right.
Well, there was a lot in this episode of everybody just saying the worst things to each other to really get under everyone's skin. Like you were saying,
in
like
the locker room. It all came out.
I mean, well, and to everyone, like the entire episode, like when you were talking about Johnny and what he said to Daniel. And I was thinking when you said that, I'm like, well, it's kind of like Johnny to go low and Daniel goes high. That's why Daniel didn't call out, oh, well, yeah, remember when we were in the tournament, you know, like what happened and stuff. And that's because that's not Daniel's style. Daniel goes high, Johnny goes low. And everybody was going, well, except for Daniel, I guess, but everybody was going so low with each other, just saying such, you know, like even Sam, like to Devin, like, what are you even doing here? You know? And I was like, dang, you know, I mean, she kind of has she doesn't know yet that Devin cheated, but you know, she's still like, what are you even, you're like, how did you even get
know
here?
How you,
So even obvious. Sam, everybody was going so low. It just hurt. Every scene was like, everybody was cutting each other down so low. And I think Miguel, who was already frustrated watching Robbie, because everybody knows how badass that Robbie can be, right? I mean, he's a really good skilled fighter. We all know that. We've seen him. And they all know that. But then to see him, you know, that they all have this opportunity and he's not able to focus because of what's going on with Tori. And I get it. It makes sense. And I think he was just fueled because they were telling him in the hotel room, like, you know, just so y'all know, we all think that you should have been, you know, captain, were, you know. Yeah. And so I think that kind of fueled that conversation. It wasn't right what he said or anything, but it just, it's like everybody was going so low at each other, mm-hmm. just saying the most awful things.
Robbie's not, though. He's just, he's knocked off balance, but he's not cutting anyone down like that. And Miguel is. So it's weird for me because I see that Miguel is stepping up to the plate. He's, I mean, I wonder who the best fighter of these actors really are. And Xolo Madureira is the actor that plays Miguel. I wouldn't be surprised if he is the best because he just looks so great out there.
Yeah,
but Miguel's being a total dick, in my opinion. It just, he should be talking to him and not just giving him shit like that. But that's how people really are sometimes, especially kids can be.
I was just going to say yes to everything you guys are saying, but it's on point. Kids can say the most horrible things to each other.
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't even really understand what they're saying. They're just regurgitating stuff they've heard other people say and making it even worse. But they can say the most sexist, racist things you could ever hear to each other. And you're just like, what? Where'd you even hear that from?
But I got to give us credit because Richard and I go way back to seventh grade. And I think we were pretty good with each other, me and you and Dan and Tim.
We were our most whole of the group time. Was, yeah.
Yeah. Except that one time, did you knock Tim's lunch out of his hand for no reason?
Oh, yeah. And then he punched me in the stomach.
He got really mad.
He did. We weren't friends for a couple of days. I didn't mean to. I was running past him, and I just meant to grab the paper bag and steal his lunch, which is better, right? But just instead, the paper bag broke, and his lunch went everywhere. Neither of us had anything to eat. So
miscalculation.
I do that because I have amblyopia. I have lazy eyes, so I don't have good 3D vision. And one time when I was working at McDonald's, I was going to pretend to knock this girl's Coke out of her hand. And then I just knocked it right out of her hand because I didn't know the distance.
Oops.
And she's like, what the fuck?
Sorry, I got no depth perception.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I'm just clumsy. I don't really have like a good excuse for any of that, but I'm just clumsy. And when I think I'm trying to like be smooth, I just end up messing it up because I'm not graceful. But yeah, it's you have to keep remembering that they are kids. It's like I tell myself that all the time, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. But I'm like, okay, well, wait a minute, they're teenagers, and teenagers are sometimes just dumb. And
yeah, Johnny and Daniel don't have that excuse.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. They don't.
So I think we're on Rich. Is that right?
Yes.
You know, how about the Iron Dragons? I haven't talked about them yet. We got some fleeting glimpses. I don't know if it was more than a minute of total screen time, but so Sensei Wolf, is that his name?
Yep.
Turns out he's a dick.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a monster.
When he was talking to Johnny, he said something like in the buffet or at the, you know, at lunch, he said something about, I know Americans. Coddled, arrogant, privileged. You have no idea what it's like to sacrifice, what it's like to go hungry. What else did he say? Even for one meal, even everything in your life is empty calories. And I was like thinking, holy crap, he's actually describing Johnny to a T.
Yeah. That also goes back to the very first episode when we saw Johnny wake up and have a beer and some fried bologna for breakfast.
He opens the fridge. There's nothing in there but like a wrench.
it felt a little presumptuous though to say that, because I'm like, well, you don't know
right
about people's what people have been through. No. And
he was totally generalizing. Yeah, no. I mean, stereotyping Americans. Yeah. But
Johnny is a very stereotypical American in a lot of ways.
That didn't deter him at all. He's like, oh yeah, I'll still kick your ass. Like, well, if you can, dude, you might want to tone that down. But I was thinking, you know, he's, I don't know. I didn't know what to think of him. I'm like, you know, he's kind of right. But then on the other hand, it's like, who is this guy? And then we saw him, Samantha saw him in the training room kind of beating on Axel a little bit there because he wasn't getting what he wanted out of him. And I'm like, oh man, this guy's a dick.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later on, Samantha was somebody said, oh, when they were up on the platform and they knocked everybody off in like just a few seconds, less than a minute, you know, like, who is this guy? Who made him? You know, talking about Axel. And he's a monster. And then Sam turned and is like, don't call him a monster. You don't know what he's been through.
Yep.
Okay. So we got a little bit on Axel. Yeah. And we're getting a little bit on Zara too. She's pretty enchanting. Every scene she's in, I think it's pretty cute. What she's doing. She was in the elevator with her phone.
Doing her little Instagramming. Like, live. Yeah.
Doing her brand. Yeah. And she turns around and sees the girls and she's just like, oh yeah.
Anyway, she's like, there's a lot of badass women here.
That's right. So, yeah.
Anyway,
but not here. Yeah.
It was awesome to see some badass girls fighting out there. Anyway,
that was great because, Instagram is such a big deal and social media. I mean, it's hard for all of us, honestly, when you see people living the best life and you're like, fuck, man, sometimes. But especially for kids, that's why there's an epidemic of depression and anxiety because they're always comparing themselves to girls like this or people like this. Mm-hmm. And so that was very topical, but it was good to add that in here where they're all worried about not being good enough, you know, and after they just had such a shitty day and here she comes. And it's, I mean, I looked her up, what's her name again?
Raina something.
Raina Valandingham. And I think she's playing an Indian. It sounds like an Indian accent, maybe.
She did have an accent, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, but she's, as Rima said last time, she's American. She's from Encinas, California. Started training at age 2, Taekwondo. And as you mentioned before, Rima, 13 world championships, but she has 5 million followers on TikTok and Instagram. So they kind of just, put her
took
right
her
in
life.
There.
Kind of real life right there. Huh?
Yeah.
And she said she wants to be the next Bruce Lee. And Rich, you're saying that she just pops off the screen. I would not be surprised if she ends up being a breakout star from this series and we see more of her and other things, you know.
She's
anybody who's got charisma.
Talented.
Yeah. Super talented, and talent, whoever has charisma that comes through the screen, you know, it must be like 10 times as much in real life. Right. So I think she's pretty cool. And then they had mentioned at some point, I think it was the announcer said that a crowd favorite, Zara
fan favorite, and they all start chanting her name.
But then in this episode, Tori was getting the chance and Zara's looking around like, oh, hey, I'm not cool with this.
She did not like
that's going
that.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
You know it. Yeah.
Yeah. I see a beef with her and Tori real
they're
soon.
Build, yeah. They're going to build something there.
Tori's going to be an Instagram star.
So we got a little bit more on the Iron Dragons. I hope we get more because it would be interesting to get into that side of the competition, you know, and see what exactly we're up against after we get over our interpersonal drama here.
Yeah, I hope that I hope pretty soon our kids get their shit together.
Yeah, I feel like they're gonna have to with this crisis that Johnny and Miguel and I know it's all going somewhere. Like I know that this is short term. You know, this drama and everyone cutting each other. And I know that they're going to somehow pull themselves together and come together as a core group and take all the things that they've learned. I mean, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, obviously, but like, I feel like they're going to get over this hump. So it's just kind of painful to watch for the moment.
I know, especially when we're watching week to week.
Yeah. All right, let's just go watch the next one. All right, everybody. It was great to talk with you. See you later.
Yep. On to the next.
But talking about this guy, Wolf, talking shit about Americans that they're coddled and privileged and don't know what it's like to go hungry or sacrifice and all that, empty calories. And it just reminds me of when I've traveled abroad and it's such a great, you get such a great perspective. Like when I was in Belize, that was when Osama bin Laden was shot. and nobody cared around there. And it was so weird to be in a place where no one cares about what's going on in America, but it was good in a kind of humbling, but good way, you know, just to realize there's a whole world out here. Yeah. It's not all just what we're swimming in.
Right.
And that's why I love in Podcastica, how we have listeners and hosts from other countries like Anwen in New Zealand and Lucy in Scotland, you know, and Derek over in Ireland and stuff. It's just so great to get to know people from other countries and feel that connection that we can have with people who aren't from here. That's another thing. But then as far as like criticisms of Americans, I love that they're touching on that kind of thing. Like when Kwan was saying, USA, you're supposed to be the best, you know? And now this guy talking about how we're coddled and privileged and everything. And it reminded me of when I was in Moscow, because I used to work for this Russian software company, Parallels. And the guy that I worked with a lot was showing me around, and I remember he thought I wouldn't be able to handle the cold in Russia. Just thought I'd be too weak for it. Right. And he also, was kind of giving me a little shit for how we all like, have mortgages instead of raising the money, I guess, to buy your house before you know,
oh, really?
Like it's weak to not earn something before you get it or something like that. So I could feel that little judgments like that coming out sometimes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, anyone who's doing better than someone is going to get made fun of, you know?
Yeah.
But in the end, you know, I'm sure you've realized this through all your travels, which are much more extensive than my travels. But in the end, people just all really want the same thing. They just want to be happy. They want to get along.
Yeah.
Want a nice meal. They want to.
And once you get to know people, then you get past all these stereotypes and otherizing and you just relate as people, not as these stereotypical, you know, icons of whatever tribe you're in or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Just connecting on a human level and not just about where you're from.
Anyway. Okay. It's my turn, I think.
Yep.
So I'll talk a little bit about the Sekai Taikai and this last competition, this one where I guess they eliminated half of the contestants, right? Because it was interesting how we found out that the way the scoring worked was the highest scoring team would go against the lowest scoring, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it worked?
Yeah.
And then the second highest against the second lowest. Mm-hmm. So you knew that the Iron Dragons were going to wipe the floor with the lowest scoring team.
Totally. You didn't make it hard for them, did they?
And the ones in the middle would be the better fight because they're probably closer. But Cobra Kai was number three. And they went against some Polish team, not Polish, Swedish team that was named after polar bears, I think. But Miyagi-Do, or they were called Polar Slaget, which means the polar battle. But anyway, Miyagi-Do was 12th out of 16, and they fought Dublin Thunder, who were 5th, which is a good underdog matchup.
I like their accents.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like that they played some like rockin' Irish sounding music during their
it sounded like Dropkick Murphys almost a little.
Yeah, I think maybe it was. Yeah.
I don't know that it was. That's a great band. It's sounded what it reminded me of.
I thought the Sekai Taikai was a bit like Squid Game because at least it seems like the people don't seem to know what the games are going to be until right before they happen.
Yeah.
Because they're told the rules and it looks like they had no time to prepare for it, which is just like Squid Game. Also, this big lit platform comes down. That's very much like something that would happen on Squid Game. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Cobra Kai people did that on purpose.
Yeah.
They're like, let's make it kind of like Squid Game, because Squid Game may be the most popular show that's ever been on anything. It's definitely the most popular Netflix show that's ever been on. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of modeled it after that a little bit. Talking about like the efficient guy had said the Sekai Taikai used to be more brutal, but it's pretty brutal now. I think Tori knocked someone's tooth out.
Yeah.
Right?
And that was awesome.
And I think with most martial arts tournaments, especially with young people, excessive force is not allowed. Mm. It's all about hitting someone in the chest or, you know, in the point getting area.
Get but a point,
these
right.
games, yeah, are about slamming someone down, knocking them off, you know, kicking them right in the face as hard as you can.
Yeah. Man, could you imagine? You'd be hella sore after a competition like that if you survived.
I guess that's all I had on that. We already talked about everything else. Just a short one.
Nice.
Got any more, Rima?
The next point I had, it's really short. It could probably qualify as a note. So it's just Miguel and him coming through for the entire episode, because he's the one that helped them get enough points to keep moving on when they did the first round on that platform. You know, everyone else got knocked off, but he stayed on, and then coming in at the end. So proud
fighting
of my
those
boy.
Two guys.
Yeah. I'm so proud of my once. Boy. I've been a Miguel fan since day one, and I'm always rooting for him. And I agree with what you said, Jason. He's always, well, the exception of this episode, kind, you know, kind and usually exudes warmth.
I mean, at the end of season one, if I think it was season one, he was turning into kind of an asshole there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he has his moments.
He did have his moments, you know, where he was more Cobra Kai and aggressive and not the best boy that he could be. But he's come around, and I was so proud of him coming through. I know he got kind of cocky about it. I was like looking at Robbie, like, let me show you how it's done.
Then he did. So it's sort of like, all right, then I guess.
I mean, if you can back it up.
Right, yeah, exactly. He did. He talked the talk and he walked the walk, because he went up there and he was, you know, Johnny's like, you know, telling the kids in the order that they're going to go. And he said, Miguel is going to be our anchor, which I thought was a really good idea. Save Miguel for last. He'll be reserving his strength. He won't be tired. He won't be hurt maybe from being in the fight.
Mm-hmm. And you have a powerful guy at the end there.
Yeah. They know he's the strongest, you know, they'll put Robbie up the front and then Miguel at the end. And so, yeah, it was smart. So, yeah, when he has to go up there and it was, you know, two versus the one. And I thought that fight was just amazing. I feel like in this last season, like in the first half, Miguel's character's kind of taken a little bit of a backseat a little to set, because there's so many characters and there's been lots of other storylines. Some of the other side characters have been kind of pushed more to the forefront. And so he hasn't, I think, been as active as what he normally has been. So it was really good to see him, you know, kind of get some good screen time, a good fight. Haven't seen him have a really good fight in a little while. So I loved it. I thought the choreography was great. I thought he was badass. And I loved that he was the one that saved them from elimination. But like I was saying earlier, I'm just super stressed now with the situation where he and Johnny now have to leave because of
leaving too. Yeah,
so Carmen. It's like, crap, you know, how
I think Kenny's gonna come in.
Oh, you think they'll call up a reserve?
Really? Man,
that's I don't know what the time. I mean, I feel like they kind of play around with time a little bit, but I mean, they're in freaking Barcelona, and how, you know, how but, easy yeah, is it to try show. To, yeah.
We'll see.
You know, get someone over? But yeah, maybe they'll call in a reserve or something. But you know, I was just super proud of my boy, proud of my Miguel.
See, but yeah, that this is my last point too. Was the ending? It's like, how are they going to not have Miguel finish the competition though? That's terrible. He's got to come back.
That's true. Yeah.
It's so odd. I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. And then, and like Jason just said, are you allowed to have a substitute? Are they going to get a substitute? Who's going to take his place in the meantime?
You'd think they would have brought, I mean, if it was real, they would bring
a backup. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't know that they covered that in the rules. Like, what if someone got sick or something and had to drop out?
Hurt.
Or, yeah. In this kind
you'd
of
think
situation.
They get hurt a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, like if somebody had to leave due to a family emergency or something and had to leave, do they allow you to call up, you know, a reserve or something like that? Like, do you have to have X amount of people on your team to be able to compete? Maybe it's required. You have to have like six people or whatever it is, you know? I don't know.
Right.
That's
been called
out or not.
Like, there's no extraneous, like, characters that are going on right now, so it's not like someone that you might think could be a substitute would be plopped in there. It's going to be a complete surprise if there is, but I don't know. I just can't see them not bringing Miguel back to finish the competition. That he'd be stuck at home.
I say I would love to see him. Like I don't know. I feel like it's probably the right thing. If something's going on with his mom, he should be there. But it would feel really weird to have Miyagi-Do, if they keep advancing forward without Miguel there to be a part of it, you know. I mean,
that's part of the tension now, that Miguel just saved them and now their strongest guy is gone.
Yeah. This could be
Robbie's
could
gonna
be
have to step up.
Strategic writing too to make Robbie step up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it could be the push that he needs.
And you know, I agree, it's kind of a shame if Miguel doesn't get to fight in the end, and hopefully he does come back. But also, as Robbie said, he's always in second place and Miguel's won already once or twice, right? So maybe it's Robbie's turn now.
Maybe.
And when go ahead.
For Miguel not to be there, it's just so weird to just not even be there. Because he's already like not captain. He can't. Robbie's the captain. He's going to be the last one to fight anyway. So Miguel, you know, Robbie would have a shot to you know, win and come out on top.
And Miguel has reminded us a couple of times too why this is so important to him. You know, he wants to get the going to college. He wants to have this help him get into a good college.
Figure it out.
And then Robbie just keeps saying, "Well, it's important for me too," but he doesn't really say why. Do we know why it's important for Robbie? I guess it's important for everybody in one way or
another.
Well,
I think what he's just saying is, hey, we all deserve a shot at it, and I won fair and square.
I think just like with the sponsorships, the recognition, the money that comes with it, you know, Robbie doesn't come from the most ideal background. You know, he's kind of come from a troubled background between his mom and Johnny, and you know, it'd be a good opportunity for him to get him in the spotlight and maybe propel his, you know, if he wanted to pursue either a career or coaching or just whatever it was that he wanted to do in like martial arts or something. But be a good way to get his name out there and recognition. But it would be quite a twist if it was somehow that they did bring Kenny up and like Devin's there, and with this whole like how she's confessed, you know, that she's done something
I mean
she's got to deal with it one way or another, God, whether Kenny's there or not. But I think it would be super interesting if Kenny showed up and it's she's got to like face it head on, like, you know, with him there.
Awkward.
Yeah.
All right, my next one is a little bit about Miyagi, because I liked when Daniel was talking to Amanda on the phone and he acknowledged that Miyagi had told him he hated tournaments. So it's strange that he may have been a part of this tournament, because, you know, I figured these writers who just love Karate Kid so much wouldn't overlook that Miyagi had acted that way. So they're weaving everything together in a way that makes sense, as they always do, which I'm glad. Daniel also said that Miyagi's wife and newborn child had just died, you know, back then, before he would have been in this tournament in the 40s or whatever. And that reminded me, you know, in Karate Kid, when Miyagi was really drunk, and Daniel went over there and he told him about the whole story. And so I just thought I'd go through Miyagi's history really quick, just kind of the bullet points to remind us.
Cool.
So he was born in an Okinawan fishing village. He learned karate from his father. He fell in love with Yukie, who we met in Karate Kid 2, and that was Kumiko's aunt. They were teenagers, but she was arranged to be married to Miyagi's best friend, Sato. But Miyagi announced he wanted to go against tradition and marry her anyway, and that pissed Sato off, so he challenged Miyagi to a fight to the death. And Miyagi didn't want to do that, so he left Okinawa and came to the U.S. And he worked as a farm laborer in the cane fields, and that's where he met his first wife, who was also a farm laborer. And eventually they moved to Los Angeles. And then during World War II, he ended up in the army, probably drafted, stationed in Europe, where he served with honors. He had medals and things. And it was during that time that his wife was pregnant and held at this internment camp, the Manzanar internment camp, and she lost her life and her child in complications during childbirth, where there were no doctors there to help. That's what Miyagi's telling Daniel about. Then possibly was part of the Saikai Taikai tournament shortly after this. I guess we'll see, hopefully. Then once out of the military, he became a maintenance man, and he got this house in LA, built this garden there that now serves as the dojo for Miyagi-Do Karate. And he spent time restoring his collection of classic cars, which I'm sure inspired Daniel to become a car salesman. And then at some point in there, met Daniel, and Daniel and his mom moved out to California to take a job in computers, and the rest is history.
Nice.
So that's his story.
That's a good story, except for the part about his wife and kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had a rough time of it.
And we don't know where the Taikai tournament was held when he was in it, right? For some reason, I keep thinking, was it in Barcelona? No, probably not, right?
I feel like they said it was at different places around the world.
Yeah, it's different places every year. Sure.
Yeah. But no, I don't think we know during that time where it was.
Yeah, I hope they don't give up on that storyline. Daniel trying to find out what's going on.
No way.
I feel like they won't, but hopefully he'll allow at least to get through the tournament. Like, let's get the kids, you know, and he's going to have to. He's going to have to now with Johnny being
gone.
Johnny's
gone, yeah.
Johnny and Miguel both, he'll have to make sure he's there.
Yeah, that might end up being that in the last five, huh? Because he'll be focused more on the tournament now. All right, do we have notes? Rima?
I have a few. I'll go through what we haven't already talked about. I know we've talked about Eli and Dimitri, but I'm glad that they're still kind of keeping the conflict a little relevant between the two, with Dimitri kicking Eli off that freaking platform.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Accidentally.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah, I know it was an accident, but I'm sure Eli probably won't see it that way. or he'll just,
pissed.
You know, or he'll just, it'll just add to the fuel between them. Because, and I'm sure like the rest of the conflicts between our whole group here, they'll find a way to repair their friendship. At least I hope so, because it is kind of getting old, them snipping back at each other. Mm-hmm. And especially every time Dimitri keeps bringing up MIT.
Yeah.
His, ridiculous. His shut the F up to Dimitri was like, thank you. Thank you for finally saying that. It was very satisfactory.
Yes.
I feel like it's all coming to a head. In fact, when they started all just, it all came out in the locker room, like, shut the fuck up about MIT. You don't deserve to be here. You know, just back and forth. I thought, oh, good. Maybe this is where it will all come to a head and then they'll figure it all out. But then they all just left pissed off. And I was like, oh. Damn it.
Yeah.
And then Johnny and Miguel are leaving for good. It's like, what? Come on.
Yeah. And then I was annoyed with Dimitri when he's in the room and they're talking, or maybe, sorry, it was in the locker room, but when he was talking about just quitting and saying, oh, let's just go do this and go here and get, you know, food or something. And just, and they're like, what, just quit? I'm like, dude, after the crap you pulled in the forest with Eli when they were having the whole match, like what the crap that you pulled to get there. And now you're like, oh, let's just quit. Ugh, so annoyed with him in that moment.
That too is pretty on point, though, is kind of how kids do, you know, they're just like, pull out all the stops, cheat, lie, do whatever need to get there. And then just goof
then it
around.
Gets hard
and then just like, goof around when they get there.
Yeah. And I think that's probably all that we haven't already talked about. So that's all I got.
That does sound like us, because me and Rich were in marching band, and our band director, I've probably talked about him on this podcast before, was insane and pushed us really hard, but we ended up being like
state
second
champions,
in the nation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'd go on these trips and just fuck around, like totally get beer or just stay up all night.
Schwartz Bay 7. Oh, man.
Yeah. Just take off.
You're
get
being
left behind.
Listening to this right now going,
Yeah.
He knows. All right, Rich, got notes?
Yeah, I only have one, though. It's Chosen. What the hell happened to Chosen? He wasn't even in the episode. He's so drunk, he couldn't even make the call sheet or something. What the hell?
He's apparently nursing a hangover, but also still continuously getting drunk, it sounds like. Like, he's getting sick and just drinking himself silly.
So he's spending this day in the hotel room or at a bar or something, huh?
Sounds like it.
I guess. Maybe he'll take... how old do you have to be? Can he take Miguel's spot? <That'd
be hilarious. laughs> I don't know. Hopefully they got him chained to a bed after the way he behaved. That was like so embarrassing. Walking in there like he did.
Miyagi-Do!
I don't like this part of Chosen, though. I mean, I thought he was funny. I liked him when he was sober, I guess is the way they say it. Now he's like this thing this thing with the girl that he's obsessed over has really messed him up.
I don't like any of the people on the show right now. I meant to say this earlier, but when they all you know, they've been working to get points this whole time. And the people with the most points got to fight the people with the least points, Iron Dragon versus whoever. And then half the teams were eliminated. But I wonder if all the points reset now, or do they still have their points, you know? I feel like they may all reset at this point, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. If it's an elimination, then wouldn't it just be, would points even matter? You're just going to get down to the two last teams, right?
What do you mean? I mean, the points mattered only so as unless they didn't reset, then they still matter going forward. But yeah, right now they only mattered in that saying which teams were going to get paired up.
Going against each other. But then in the long run, each competition is going to eliminate more teams until there's just two teams left, right? And then those captains are going to fight.
For all we know, they could tomorrow say, okay, at the end of the day, the two teams with the most points are the ones in the finals. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't think it'll be that boring, though. I think it's more like what you said. They'll keep eliminating teams like in Squid Game.
Right. Pull this Squid Game playbook out.
Daniel at one point said the Iron Dragons has fighters from around the world, which is kind of what I was thinking before, that they're like this dream team, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
And their sensei is a former 3-time champ. And I think he's from Hong Kong because they have a Hong Kong flag on their geese. I noticed too at the buffet, he ordered, he's like 4 eggs, hold the yolks. And then the guy just put 4 hard boiled eggs on his plate.
I was confused by that too. I was like, that's a whole hard boiled egg.
He's like, I'm not doing that. You take the yolk out yourself. And last, I think it was scary that they had to leave and unexpected. Because Carmen was rushed to the hospital. Something went wrong with the pregnancy. You got to think that pregnancy is going to be okay, though, right? They're not going to have her.
Awful dark. Yeah. They've just never went that dark before. I just don't
like this show would do that to me.
I would hope not.
Hope not. All right.
Yeah, that would ruin everything for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I do have a little bit of news this time, and that's mostly because I forgot that some things happened since we podcasted last, so we were talking about them as if everyone knew, but we never reported on it. One is just that the upcoming Karate Kid movie that stars Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan, we already talked about how that was pushed out to May 30th so Cobra Kai could finish up before it aired. But since we last podcasted, they put out a poster that has Daniel and Mr. Han, who's Jackie Chan's character, and the young kid who's the star of the movie, and they've released the name, which is Karate Kid Legends. But they haven't shown any trailers or anything. I got taken in by one of those fan trailers and thought it was real, but it was a fan trailer.
Is there a plot synopsis out somewhere? Do we know what it's about?
Yeah. ChatGPT. I asked ChatGPT for the synopsis. And I think from what I've read, this seems right. It says Karate Kid Legends features Ralph Macchio reprising his role as Daniel LaRusso alongside Jackie Chan, who returns as Mr. Han from the 2010 reboot. The film introduces Ben Wang as Li Fong, a teen from China who moved to the U.S., and finds guidance and strength through martial arts under the mentorship of LaRusso and Mr. Han. So basically it doesn't say anything, but it sounds like it's following the Karate Kid template, you know?
Yeah. So was the 2010 reboot in the same universe as the original Karate Kid movies, or are they merging two universes here?
I think there was no stated connection until now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So they didn't really think about that when they came out with that movie, but now they're saying that it was the same.
Doing like an MCU thing. They're starting to like
merge,
the different universes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been on my mind because, William Shatner just reprised his role as Captain Kirk at 94 years old.
What?
What?
Yeah, and
what?
It's a short film.
What?
So really, it's a short film on, the guy who started the whole thing, what's his name? Roddenberry. So Roddenberry's estate and his son, who's now a director, did this short film. It's only like 10 or 12 minutes long, and he reprised his role. A lot of actors from the original series reprise the role. Mm-hmm. They're all in like their late 80s and early 90s, and this combination of they put on a bunch of prosthetics on and used CGI to make them look like they did in their younger selves, and you see the Kelvin universe and the original universe come together, and you see three or four different series. Yeah, there's a little bit of Discovery in there, a little bit of the original Star Trek, a little bit of Next Generation. I mean, it's pretty damn cool.
And it's all supposed to be canon?
Yeah, that's what they're doing, is they're trying to make everything that's happened canon.
Yeah, how do you watch that? How do we watch that?
Oh, it's on, what the hell is it called? I can't remember now. I watched it on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, check it out on YouTube. Yeah, I'm really curious about that. So this isn't a Star Trek podcast, but you got me curious. So I have one more question. Is it like a story that happened in Kirk's past, or are they saying that because spoilers, but in Star Trek Generations, Captain Kirk died.
Exactly. And that's the main point.
Okay. Well, don't spoil it.
A lot of it is unspoken. Okay. So you kind of got to draw some of your own conclusions.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Cool. All right. One other news thing. Last time we mentioned that there was a tribute to Chad McQueen, who played Dutch at the end of episode 6, but I forgot that he died in between. You know, we didn't even mention that. So Chad McQueen died at his home on September 11th this year, 2024, at the age of 63. I read he died of organ failure, and according to his friend Arthur Behrens, he'd never fully recovered from this injury he got in a fall in 2020. So maybe it was related to that.
Oh, no.
A couple days after his death, William Zabka, you know, Johnny, posted on Instagram, "Sadly, we lost the legendary Chad McQueen yesterday. I have so many great memories of him when we were filming The Karate Kid. He was truly one of a kind. He marched to the beat of his own drum and always made me laugh. We would caravan to set every day, him in his silver Porsche, music blasting, and me in my badass Honda Accord. He was the baddest of the OG Cobras in the most fun and entertaining way. I'm so thankful I had the chance to reconnect with him over the past few years. It was like no time had gone by at all. My love and deepest sympathies to his wife and family. RIP Chadwick, my dear friend and Cobra Kai brother forever. Fist emoji, broken heart emoji."
Hmm. That's too bad. 63 is not,
I know,
old.
Yeah, it's not. It's too young to go. Cobra Kai showrunner Hayden Schlossberg had tweeted out, quote, "We tried to get him in Cobra Kai and unfortunately couldn't make that work, but we had fun conversations with him." I think that's probably true. I'd like to think he's lying, but I feel like maybe they mentioned him earlier this season in the hopes that they'd be able to film something before they were all done, but then didn't get it, you know? That's my suspicion.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a couple of calls. Here's Steve Brown.
Hello, Jason, Rich, and Rima. This is Steve, and this is going to be for Cobra Kai. What is it? Dog in a Fight? Dog in the Fight? I agree with everything that you guys said last week. The only thing I would add is that the musical score was very jarring. Like, the music chosen, except for the Hold Me Now montage, which was amazing, the rest of the musical score just didn't seem to fit the scenes that it was set with. Oh, but this week, starting out with a fight and a great score, okay, I'm with it. That Zara is something else. I think you guys said last week that she really is a martial artist. Wow. Hate to say this, but I think that Johnny's right in this case. They need some motivation, not this balance crud. Not only is Zara a bad A karate fighter, she's also a social media guru. Great. Hey, between Hawk and Dimitri, this fart thing is making the 12-year-old and me giggle every time. This running fart gag. Whoever smelt it, dealt it. Whoever split it. Oh, you all were right. Catalan, not Spanish, in Barcelona. Or so the Iron Dragon Sensei says. What's with that facial hair? Ew. Well, somebody just knocked Daniel out, and apparently for a while, because now Sam's looking for him. You're really leaning into the Iron Dragon Sensei being a bad guy, aren't they? I mean, now he's abusing one of his fighters. And Daniel waking up in a dog cage, and of course Miyagi-Do is going to get behind before they take over, and, you know, because he's got to have the underdog story for Miyagi-Do, but Daniel's in a dog cage. Ooh, Johnny, it seems like you're projecting a little bit onto the Miyagi-Do students about losing and living in a crappy apartment and all that. Yeah, you're projecting. Kreese is such a just a dab. I want to say the bastard. Yeah, he's a bastard. But, you know, I'm sorry. Outside of a gym, you shouldn't be wearing sleeveless shirts. I don't care who you are or how well built you are. Was this Devin admitting to Johnny that she put the stuff in Kenny's drink to make him poop his pants? Oh, Daniel, letting the dogs go. Now he's got to fight this guy with the long hair, who's obviously, this is the Serrano guy, right? Not. He's got the Cobra Kai tattoo. And okay. Oh, this is a single elimination, knock him off the platform, bout dojo to dojo. Wow. See, I was just about to say that being up on the platform meant Robbie wouldn't get distracted by Tori, but of course, he looks off the platform and gets distracted by Tori. Okay, so now it's going to be one-on-one, Miguel and the last fighter from the Dublin Thunder. Excuse me, Miguel's two-on-one. Ooh, no, that's not good. Miguel and Johnny leaving. Oh, well, now I got to wait a week before I can watch the next one.
If that guy is Dennis that was from Karate Kid 3, I hope it is, because then I think it's good that Daniel didn't recognize him, because I always think it's dumb in movies when someone sees someone that they met 30 years ago and they immediately recognize him. Meanwhile, I see the same guy in three movies and don't realize it's the same guy, you know?
Yeah, right. I see the same person every day and I can't remember their damn name.
That's right. I think that guy was like the director's son or something. I forget. All right. Here's Mike Caruso.
Hey, guys. Mike back again from Cincinnati. I just watched Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 7, Dog in the Fight. Okay, so I pretty much like every episode of Cobra Kai, but I really, really, really like this episode.
Me too.
So this episode actually starts out pretty hard to watch, right? All the kids are losing. The senseis can't agree on how to coach and are arguing with each other. And then it just starts to get worse, right? Daniel loses sight of the priority at hand and starts to go down the Miyagi trail. And Johnny lays it to his worst instincts and give the kids bad advice. Not from the heart, I think, kind of thinking about himself maybe more than thinking about them. And forgetting everything that he learned from Miyagi-Do. And then everybody hits their low point. Johnny in the locker room scene is kind of yelling at, not kind of, he is like yelling at all the kids. All the kids are super divided. Daniel, the very next scene, wakes up in a dog cage and realizes he's been duped by his Miyagi curiosity, and he's played right into Kreese's hands. I don't think he realizes yet that it's Kreese. Then the very next scene after that, it finally, like, everybody's hit their low point. Then Johnny makes a turn somehow and does what he should always do, which is his strength, and gives Lee honest to goodness, good coaching from the heart, very unselfishly, not thinking about himself for once. And the episode literally just takes off from there. Okay, so yeah, I only watched the episode once, but I'm clicking through it here now on my computer. And the very next scene is Daniel breaking out of the cage area and fighting the Cobra Kai dudes. And I got this sense that once he realized it was Cobra Kai he was fighting, he had this look in his eye where he was like countering, like blocking with Miyagi-Do, and then he was like striking back with Cobra Kai moves that he learned. He almost like, you know, like, take this, like, you didn't think I knew this, did you? Like, or something. I thought it was pretty cool. Did you guys get that sense there? And then, of course, you had this elimination round fight that was pretty freaking awesome and had me gasping a couple times, like Robbie getting knocked out right away. I mean, I wasn't surprised, but I was just like, dang, dude, like, you got it bad, man. Damn. Oh, yeah. And don't let me forget to mention Johnny giving an awesome pep talk before the whole match started. And Miguel just really sticking it to Robbie. I was impressed, but also a little worried for him, man. He's going kind of dark, and I hate that for Miguel. But yeah, right at the end of the episode, just when you think at least Daniel and Johnny are finally going to start to see eye to eye maybe and start to try to coach the kids into the right direction, Johnny gets some awful, terrible, terrible news, and everybody's going to get split up again, it looks like, for some indefinite amount of time. So finally, I had this thought while I was watching the episode, actually, about the release of the final five episodes. And do you think it would be possible that they might release the final five weekly in 2025? And because I don't know, maybe it's just me wanting it to be easier for your guys' show, but I don't know. I feel like it would be more dramatic that way. Maybe I can hope. Anyway, I'm going to wait until I hear your guys' episode about this Cobra Kai episode before I watch the next one. Can't wait to hear your guys' thoughts, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did this week. And hey, don't forget, stay badass.
Do you think he actually waited?
That's pretty damn hard. I mean,
I wouldn't play. I never, because we always cover Netflix shows and everything's always released at once. And, you know, yeah, people are like, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't follow with you guys, I had to watch the next one. And I'm like, I don't ever fault anyone for moving forward. You do what you got to do, you know?
And not just watching it, but like staying off the internet and finding out what happens accidentally just from browsing, you know?
Yes.
Because I freaking phones recording everything you say. So it starts popping up and, you know, I'm just like, no, don't look.
Yep, it does.
He mentioned whether we might go weekly. I wish they would, but I don't think they're going to. They've just been, I feel like they'll just release all five at once.
Has Netflix, has they done that? Have they done that? Release something weekly?
Yeah, Bake Off.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, but I think that's because that's like they're kind of following the release British. When it airs in the UK.
Yeah.
You know.
What else? Any other shows? I mean, the closest they've come is exactly what they're doing with Cobra Kai, where they'll release a few episodes like they did with Stranger Things in two parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're doing that with a couple of other shows too. Yeah, they started it with Stranger Things for season 4. And I don't know that that was the jumping off point, but they're doing it with others too, like Outer Banks. Netflix show is one that they've kind of broken into chunks.
They realize that if people like a show, they're better off spacing it out to keep them subscribed, you know.
Yeah, they just want to, I think, just keep the subscribers because people are like, oh, I've seen the show, I'm going to drop it.
I mean, it's no wonder that they've put Stranger Things off for so long, because they know so many people are going to unsubscribe after that comes out.
I'll be retired by the time that show comes back.
All right, that is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Next episode will be Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 8, Snakes on a Plane. And because of our scheduling, because of Thanksgiving and everything, we are going to be recording that a little bit later on Friday, December 6th. So there's going to be a little bit of a gap here depending on when you hear this, but that means you'll have time to write or call us about this episode if you want to.
Wow. Snakes on a Plane? Holy crap. What does that mean?
I think it means bad people on a plane. Cobra Kai.
Maybe Cobra Kai. Yeah.
Cobra Kai on a plane?
Cobra motherfucking Kai on a motherfucking plane.
Sure, I'm glad we get to watch the next episode now.
Yeah, everyone's free now to watch.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other podcasts.
Yeah, Lucy and I had fun covering Walking Dead Daryl Dixon Season 2. It just came out, and now that's over, we're back to our Walking Dead rewatch, which we started about a year ago now. And we're on Season 3 coming up towards the end. And in 2 weeks, my original Walking Dead cast co-host Karen's going to come on, and we're going to talk about the Season 3 finale, because she and I both got to be zombies in that episode. We went out to Georgia. So that'll be fun. And then in a little over a month, since I've been mentioning Squid Game so much, Squid Game Season 2 comes out, and me and David, Daphne, and Veronica are going to be podcasting on that, as we did for Season 1 on Squid Game Cast.
Wow. You, David, Daphne, and Veronica?
Yeah, we kind of rotate, so there's only three of us on at any one time, and then we kill one person at the end of each episode.
It sounds like the Scooby-Doo gang.
They call me Fred. All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Zara, 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 Zara. Zara.
This sale season, Ritual is urging you to think about what's essential. Your daily health? Pretty essential. Making sure your products are heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and sourced through a traceable supply chain? Also essential. So this Black Friday, skip the micro trends and put your savings where they matter. Your health. With 40% off daily essentials like stress relief and Symbiotic Plus for gut support. Head to ritual.com/podcast and shop responsibly.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.